Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action.
Hi, friends. It's Diane here, and I have a really cool person you are going to love to listen to. Her name is Laurel Elders, and she's from Tucson, Arizona. And she has come into my world with this amazing fiery energy that you are just going to love to hear her. Laurel lives out in the desert, and she helps people who are those of us, you know, the visionary ones, us, those of us who are intuitive, those of us who are professional, and those of us who maybe don't feel understood in the world. That's her specialty. She gets us. How about that? She's also a mother of four, and she's an artist, and she is a creative person, not only in her work, but in her family life. And she's an author like I am. So there's a lot of similarities. In fact, when I first met her, I thought we could be sisters easily, soul sisters. There's so much in common that I'm not even sure where we're going to start the interview because there's so many neat things. She might have to do two interviews. I don't know. And the other thing that I think is really cool about Laurel is that she has hope for the future in this world, and she's bringing hope to other people. And sometimes it's easy when you're out there trying to do your mission and it feels like there's all these walls everywhere. So we get to listen to and be inspired by an amazing woman who is bringing hope to our world in many different ways. So welcome to the show, Laurel.
Thank you so much, Diane. Glad to be here.
It's so exciting to have you here. And like I said, I feel like we're soul sisters, and I've just met you a little while ago. And so I want to start off a little bit about the fact that you have this amazing business that you have that is called the Institute for Integrative Coach Training, which I just think is amazing. But before we get into the business part of it, tell us a little bit about what led you in your life to this amazing kind of service that you're offering people. I mean, you've got four wonderful children. You have all these great things you do. What led you to this place, to bringing this kind of coaching to the world?
Great question. So I originally wanted to become a therapist. I knew I wanted to help people. I had gone through my own struggles in life and gotten through them and wanted to turn around and help others. And so at that point, I thought, oh, therapy is the way to go. I didn't know of anything else. So I thought, okay, gonna hop on that bus and head in that direction. And as I did, I ran into a class that was on coaching. And I thought, oh, well, I love helping people. So why don't I take this little class and while I'm getting my degree? So I take the class and was shocked to find that a distinction has been made in the world of development and reaching our potential. And that is, we get the opportunity to access our own wisdom. Mm-hmm. And what I learned is that coaches are trained to help us access our own wisdom. And I was like, oh, you mean nobody's going to tell me what to do? Nobody's going to, you know, completely give me advice like this is good for you or this isn't. It was my own wisdom that was being pulled forth. And I was hooked. It's like, this is all I want to do. This is it.
Oh, that's amazing. It's so amazing. See, here's another similarity. I've been a therapist for a very, very long time, and probably longer than you've been alive or close to it. And at some point, I don't even remember, I think it was 2004 or something, I took a coaching class, not really realizing what it was. It was a workshop and then it was a class. And I thought, well, I've been doing it this way all my career. I've been asking questions this way my whole career, but now I know why all the therapists call me the radical one, because I've been doing this. I just didn't know that now these people put a name on it. I don't use the word coach anymore because I'm more of a mentor because of my wisdom level now. But when I heard it the first time, I had that, oh my, like I would have changed course too in school if it would have been there when I was around. But I remember that experience. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So how do you integrate being a mom of four and running a business that's out here in the world helping so many people? How does that equilibrium and balance in your life look?
Well, at this point, it's great because I've it allows me to be the mom, you know, and the professional that I want to be. So it allows for self-care. It allows for all of that. But it wasn't always like that. When I first started out, I took a leap of faith. I was working a job that was so stressful that it caused an ulcer. And without a savings account or anything in place, I quit my job and said, I'm done. And I took the leap. I don't recommend anybody do it that way necessarily, but I followed my heart. My heart knew there was a better way to be of service to the world and to my children. So I was a single mom at the time, and it was one of the best decisions I ever made. It worked out. I started out actually doing art half the day and coaching the other half of the day, and it just kind of pieced it together until I became more full-time in coaching.
Oh, that is great. And you're right. It's everybody says, you know, don't necessarily just jump with any plan, but sometimes that's the best way to do it, is when your heart knows there's a message in there that's stronger than logic, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really think that was the key, is that my heart was prompting.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's amazing. So tell us how you got the name for your company. The Institute of Integrative Coaching. I love that name. I think it just speaks so powerfully. So how did you get that name?
There's a little bit of history to the name. We originally got started through Prescott College, and private schools were all taking a hit. And so Prescott went and cut back on all their certification programs. And when that happened, they actually kept us on. And I thought, oh, great. This is, you know, it's wonderful. We'll be good. And then what happened was, one day I was sitting there and the name, it was almost like this name just came to me. It said, you will be the Institute for Integrative Coach Training. And I thought, well, that's odd. We're doing great at Prescott and everything's going well. And about 3 months after that, Prescott contacted me and said, you know what? I'm so sorry. This was about a year after. We're not going to have to, we just can't continue. And I thought, oh, interesting. So we opened the Institute for Integrative Coach Training. They gave us our blessing. They just said, you've been with it from the beginning. You're part of the seed inception of the whole thing. So take it, make sure it doesn't die, because it's a really great program.
That's wonderful. So tell us a little bit about how your coaching works. Like, so if I was somebody and I was interested in working with you, do you only train other coaches, or you actually help coach professional people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both.
Okay, so if I was going to come to you for something, I'm a professional person, what would it be like for me if I was like just to find you? Like, I'm going to email you after I hear this podcast. What happens?
So the way an integrative coach works is we work whole person. So you can expect to have an integrative coach sit with you and do a life assessment in all areas. How satisfied are you in your life in general? How aligned are you with your values? So if you don't yet know your core values, the coach can help you get in touch with that. And then from there, create a vision. So what is your vision? What are you working towards? What do you want to walk away with? After that, meet for a set amount of time. So like 3 or 4 times a month, whatever is established in the agreement. And in the integrative coaching perspective, we pull in all aspects of the person's wisdom. So we are responding in session to a person somatically. We're responding to them spiritually. We're responding to them intellectually and helping them self-develop. So it's not just a session of logistics. It's not just, hey, what goal do you want to accomplish? Okay, great. Let's create a map. It's the transactional, but it's also the transformational. It's, what is your relationship to life and how's that working? What is your relationship to yourself? How's that working? And then a coaching program typically goes 3 to 6 months, depending. Some clients stay on much longer. And after about 3 months, we do a whole in-person assessment again to see what development points have happened, what new epiphanies have, or pinnacles or milestones have you reached?
Oh, that's wonderful. So do you do all of the work virtually or in an office, or like, so if somebody wanted to see you, I'm in Florida and you're in Arizona. So if somebody in Florida was listening, they could work with you online, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I do both in person and online. Most coaches have a combination.
Right. I mean, I do that. I see people, I act more as a like intuitive spiritual mentor person, and I see people in person. I go to some people's homes and I also have an office, and then I also do things online. So yours sounds very similar to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a success story without, of course, divulging any kind of information, but it's very interesting that somebody is looking at the whole person in coaching, because that's rare in the coaching world. Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting that you look at the spiritual piece of it as well. And from listening to you, it sounds like you have a nice level of intuition happening along with that. Mm-hmm. Do you have a success story that pops in that you'd like to tell us? Like, just so we can kind of get a feel for what kind of transformation happens, because that transformation piece is unique. A lot of coaches don't do that. They do the more transaction part, which is what coaching was developed to do. So this is like a hybrid kind of, it sounds like. So what would a success story sound like?
My most recent favorite one is a client that came to me. One of the coaching niches that I've taken on is helping women break free from emotional eating. And I had a client come to me for that. And then it was interesting because we ended up working more on just day-to-day things. And then finally, it was about 2 months in, she said, "Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to do the work." And so we did it. We focused on self-awareness. And what I've learned in integrative models is that self-awareness, the journey with self-awareness, leads us into self-generation, which means our answers are coming from within more and more. We have more capacity. And once we become self-generating, we then are able to hold and sustain success long-term. So it's no longer a roller coaster ride. And so we went into the self-awareness, and from that, she started looking at healing parts of herself that needed some grief work, and got on the other side of that and was just free. Just free. And it's so fascinating to me. I want to bring this up because coaches don't do therapy. We do not do therapy. We're not trained in therapy. We're not licensed. We refer out. We know exactly where those lines are. But in this situation, she did her own work. Mm-hmm. I just held the container for her self-awareness. And it was really beautiful.
Oh, that is just spectacular. And I'm sure it was so empowering for her too, to see that she could do her own work with somebody holding the safe space for her and really build a level, probably I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about it, of confidence and awareness that transcended even what was happening. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, I love that. That just makes me speechless in so many ways. It's just so beautiful. You know, that to be witness to something so amazing and transformational for somebody. So I'm going to put you on the spot for a second. Okay. And because it's popping in to ask you this question, so we're going to go with it. The number one reported or emailed question to me from all the listeners around all the countries around the world, they always are asking me about to interview my guests and to speak personally about helping somebody with procrastination. And, you know, procrastination comes from lots of different ways and things like that. But what is maybe something that you could say or an example you might have to help somebody who might be listening that procrastinates, and how could they start making steps toward being free from that?
That's a great question. So the number one thing that I've found to be helpful is looking at the underlying motivation, because we're all different. So what is the underlying motivation for the procrastination? Because based on your motivation, that's going to determine what's going to be more effective approach. I have a fun story around that. My friend's dog, she got this brand new dog and he was just so excited. When she took him for walks, he was just obnoxious. He was pulling her everywhere and she almost gave up. Like, I can't take this dog for walks. And then she learned that there were three primary motivations for dogs. One is food motivated, one is praise motivated, and one is prey motivated. So she learned he's prey motivated. He was trying to attack or go after things. And so she gave him a ball, put it in his mouth. Now he walks fine because he thinks he has his prey. Obviously, humans are more complex than that. But if we can get to the underlying motivation and say what's really going on beneath the surface, that's when the transformations happen.
Oh, that's beautiful. So sometimes it takes, again, being willing to look within and really pay attention to what's happening in order to then say, okay, what's the next best step?
Yeah.
So do you ever overthink?
Oh, absolutely.
How do you help yourself with when you get like an analysis paralysis overthinking kind of thing? Because obviously you are very smart, and smart people are at high risk for overthinking. And so that's another thing people ask are for tips about overthinking. So how do you help yourself with overthinking?
I move from my head to my heart.
And what would be a tip to do that? If somebody's listening to you going, oh yeah, I've heard that a million times, like your head to your heart, longest distance. How does that work for you, Laurel?
So for me, I catch it somatically. My head starts feeling full. My brain is swirling. And I just notice, okay, I'm in it, I'm in my head. And then one technique is somatic, which is you can do this at any point, sit and smile, because that throws it engages the oxytocin being released in your body. So you smile and take 3 deep breaths while smiling. And exhale. And I'll do that 3 times minimum, right? Sometimes more, depending on how in my head I am. And then sometimes I'll even put my hand on my heart and just ask, what is really wanting to surface right now? How do I really feel right now? And just see what comes up.
So it requires some patience and willingness to tune in differently than just trying to overthink more to figure out why you're overthinking, which doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing that I've noticed is that sometimes it's a matter of beliefs. I've noticed there's a correlation between a false belief and 1,000 different thoughts and the way that shows up. So, and that's in coaching. If we can help identify what's running the show, what false belief, maybe I'm in fear because I don't believe I have enough. And that could lead to 100 different thoughts that are fear-based. But if I get to the heart of it, and if I can switch from the fear into my heart, all those extra thoughts fall away, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. It reminds me of Jerry Jampolsky years ago saying, there's only 2 motivators, love and fear. Mm. And in A Course in Miracles, where you learn in the very beginning to be aware of, I could feel love instead of this, whatever that this is. And it's that same idea of moving into that heart space, which then allows us to be connected to what is the root cause of whatever it is.
Yes.
And from there, we have our authentic power from the inside out.
Well put. I love that.
It's so obvious to me, but yet what I realize with a lot of people is we live in a culture and a time, and you even mentioned it about the whole rat race and that whole external demand and that seduction of looking at the outside, paying attention to what's going on over here, out there, over there, and even getting rewarded for it, to the point where so many people, when they start looking for assistance, are so disconnected from who they are that they don't even know where to start. Like, they're almost like speechless. Some people just have those eyes. I notice their eyes are just kind of blank. And we don't need to live like that. That's not how we're meant to live. We don't have to live like that. And I see you and I experience you as an ambassador for a richer, more deep, amazing, fulfilled life from the inside out.
Absolutely.
So how did you get to this place? You said you've had an interesting journey to get here, to be in this position of really serving and helping other people. And you also talk about sustainability, which is a big deal. So how did this all weave together, the coaching and the sustainability, along with where you see things going? How do you see your role and your business evolving into the future?
Oh gosh, so much there. So I would say that my own personal struggle with not believing my life could amount to anything when I was growing up. I always thought, oh, my sister's the straight A student. She fits in. She gets it. I don't know why I'm here. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Overcoming that in my own journey with having, the struggle with emotional eating, having overcome that where food became my world to, wait a minute, if food's not my world, what is my world and why am I here? And what can I contribute? So stepping fully into that and really listening to what was calling, and then having the guts to follow that, that prompting that I knew something more was calling. And to tie that into more of a big picture, when I grew up, I grew up really angry and disappointed in the world. I thought, the environment's being ruined, these corporations are so greedy, and I just was angry. And I thought, oh my gosh, we've reached our evolutionary peak and we're headed downhill. Great. And then one day I woke up and realized, wow, no, that's not it at all. We've been collectively, mostly solving problems very linearly, and that hasn't got us very far. Right? It might get a company a great bottom line, but if the consequence is the environment, have we really succeeded? I don't think so. So one of the messages I'm prompted to get out there is we have to raise the bar on success and think more integratively. And to do so would benefit everyone, because not one person, not one CEO wants to wake up and say, I want to ruin the environment today. Not one. That's not in their hearts. But that's what happens, because there's still linear problem solving going on. Mm-hmm. So I see a very bright future when we start looking at life and the work that we do through an integrative lens more collectively.
That's beautiful. It is very hopeful to hear you say that and to see it that way. And it's funny, because I was just saying in a group I was running the other day that nobody wakes up every morning saying, how can I mess my life up today? How can I just really like torque it out and be the worst I can? No matter the biggest mistake they've made or the biggest error, nobody wakes up with that intention. That's not how it works.
Right.
You know, people get caught in these delusions and these traps or these beliefs that don't work. And nobody's intentionally trying to. I just don't believe that about the human spirit. So yeah. That again, see, I'm telling you, it's like we should know each other. It's just crazy.
So true.
I know. It's like, whoa, my God, it's amazing. So what would you have to say to the young people? Like, you have children. What do you have to say to them? Like, there's a lot of young people that listen to this show, and you've got a lot of wisdom and you've learned a lot along the way that's very powerful. And that you've been able to create something professionally and personally that is really serving you and others. And so what would you want to say to the young people who maybe are feeling a little hopeless or feel like you did, like everything's going downhill, we've reached the pinnacle, it's all going away, and they just feel that existential, ugh. What would you say to them to try to help them see it differently?
That is such a great question, because what I've noticed that the, like, all of, we've got teenagers and their generation versus the millennials. The millennials seem to have a lot of hope and they want to make change, and that's beautiful. And I've noticed that with my teenagers' generation, they are more skeptical that positive change can happen. So my message would be, do not give up hope. It is possible, and you can be a part of the solution. And we all can, right? Not just the younger generations. And to also look within, that the younger generations are the first ones that are contending with a lot of external stimulation. So they haven't yet been introduced to themselves in a deeper way, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like the Course in Miracles says, you have been taught what you are, but you have yet to allow what you are to teach you. And I think that can empower, well, that can empower anyone at any generation, but yeah, especially the ones that are contending with the media and all of that external stimulation.
Right. Yes. Because it's a different worldview to go within first and then act upon the world. And that's really what we're designed to do. And so it's like that orientation piece that's so critical. That's the difference between feeling hopeful and optimistic in a sustainable kind of way, and then, or being freaked out and afraid and skeptical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's wonderful. Let me see. I think I have other questions. I'm sure I do, because I think this is like such a, so hilarious how much we agree on so many different things. So another question I have is, when somebody you're working with, or yourself, it doesn't really matter, I just say somebody you're working with since you help so many people, runs into a wall, like they're working on something or they set a goal and they're like, da da da, everything's cruising along. And then it just seems like wall after wall after wall after wall. Or they keep coming back to you and like they've done something else different, or they're just not able to get beyond a certain point, or they don't think they can. What would be something that you might do to try to help them get on the other side of this kind of block they might be experiencing and they don't really know how or where it came from?
That would be going directly to what I call our core beliefs in life. At the very base, it's kind of like the root. What's in your roots? Well, it's kind of funny and cliche, but the roots impact the fruits. So if there's something, if there's like a block, go beneath and see what are the beliefs that are running the show. And in my work with the Course in Miracles, I looked at, there's typically one underlying false belief, or you could say core wounding, that led us to be afraid and believe in lack in life. So mine was, I'm missing something. Everybody else has it, but not me, and I'm missing it. But it took some digging to get down to that level.
And then once they get to that level and identify the core belief, then what do they do?
Switch to the heart. What is the truth? If you're not your fears, if you're not the false beliefs, if you're not your defense mechanisms, who are you? And then more importantly, who do you want to be? Right? We can choose, who do we want to be the possibility of in this world? And how do I step into that?
See, that's really beautiful. See, that's hope for everybody, because so many times people, they've written to me when they've listened to the show and other times, you know, they've said it to me that, okay, well, I have this wound, or I have this belief that I'm not enough, or I'm not good enough, or I'm, you know, I'm too short, or whatever it is, you know, and then I'm stuck with that belief. And I'm like, no, I don't believe that you're stuck with that belief. I believe you can change that belief. And I also believe that your natural greatness is already residing within you and in your heart space, in your spirit. And so you just gave everybody, if you just didn't hear, if you didn't figure out what Laurel just said, you can pause, rewind, and listen to her again, tell you exactly what to do. When you find that core belief that's in your way and you're stuck at the wall, you don't have to be stuck at the wall anymore. And you can listen to somebody and give it a shot. Get on the other side, check in with your heart, and then start going from there. And then, of course, you can reach out to Laurel or to myself or anyone who understands these kinds of things to help you if you need help. But a lot of the times it just takes that self-honesty. And she just said it perfectly. So you can rewind it and listen to her if you want to, because it's perfect. It was very clear and concise. I love that about how you communicate things with people, is you're very clear and very concise. And I really, really admire that. That shows somebody who's really competent in what they do.
Thank you.
So when we're thinking, when we're acting globally, or we're acting locally and we're thinking globally, what are some suggestions that you have for people to help them feel more integrated into their lives in general? Like, so many people are so disconnected, that integration is a word they probably don't even know what it is. So what are some general ideas or tips to say if somebody says, you know, I'm really kind of off and I'm not really integrated? What are some things that could maybe help somebody feel a little bit more integrated or maybe understand what that even is.
Mm. Well, one thing you can do just on your own is to sit down and think about what are the parts in my life? You know, what do I love doing? What are the parts of me? Am I a hiker? Am I a artist? Am I a great friend? What are my parts? And are those parts showing up equally in my life? And which parts are the priority? And maybe which parts do I need to let go of? So that's just something you can sit with and just see, maybe journal about and see what comes up. It can be really fascinating. And then, of course, the other thing is to take it into counseling or coaching to get support on exploring what does integration look like? What does it look like to reach my potential? Mm. And how might I go about creating the path? Because I believe there's many paths to the top of the same mountain. And I believe everyone has their own unique success formula. So connecting with friends that can help support you, connecting with a community that's positive and supportive, or gosh, yeah, just those people that can help you really look at yourself and in a safe way.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's true. You know, and it takes being willing to take the risk to seek out the people and the situations and the opportunities, and to be willing to not be stuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, this has been like a really amazing interview. I could probably go on, and I do have another, this is like a more personal curious question, because mm-hmm. You said you're a mosaic artist. Mm-hmm. And how did you get into mosaics, and do you still do it?
Not as much as I used to. I got into it I just had a fascination for mosaics, and I think there was just really rich metaphor there that even with all these broken pieces, we can make this really beautiful piece of art broken, right? And so I started doing that, like I mentioned, like part-time artist and part-time coach, because those two things really fed me spiritually. And so, yeah, I continued to do mosaics. I got the opportunity to do a couple of memorials, some murals here in Tucson. Yeah, it was just a kind of like a small spiritual calling that I stepped into.
Oh, that's great. But I think that speaks to what you were saying earlier about listening to your heart and trusting it so much and following it. Because who would think you'd be doing mosaics and coaching? Like, I think it sounds really cool and creative. Both of them are creative in so many ways. And somebody else might go, what? They don't make sense. But it's all coming from the same heart. So it makes perfect vibrational sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And it helped at the time, right? Because when I quit my job, I didn't just have the funds to start up a coaching practice right away, but I needed a way to make money. And so selling mosaics became that interim piece. And then I just said, why not do both? This is amazing to have both. So stuck with that for a while until coaching ended up being the true big calling.
Oh, that is great. Well, you know, because there's more than one facet to everybody. And so it's giving yourself permission to do it all and practice it and go with the flow and take it on and let part of it go and be in that flow of what your heart is saying and your calling is what makes your energy so light and joyful. And it's truly an integrated self.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
It's beautiful. I love speaking with you. I think the work you're doing out there is amazing.
Thank you.
So I have one last question. I think maybe there'll be more, but my last question, it feels like the last question. And that is, if you could create a saying for a billboard that everyone in the whole world would see, what would be on that billboard?
Ooh. There's so much.
Well, you can think about it while I'm imagining that we're playing the Jeopardy theme song now, right?
Da, 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 da. So I would say that many of us are really hungry to know more about our own hearts. So I would say what is in your heart is going to give you the most amazing start.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
What is in your heart will give you the most amazing start.
Yeah.
I could see that on a billboard. Yeah. I totally could see it on a billboard. I love it. Ah, perfect. So is there anything else that I did not cover or ask you about, or that's on your heart that you would like to share, a story, inspiration, anything at all before we end the show?
I think the only thing I would want to add is, you know, to anybody listening, is really trust yourself and trust your heart. And there's a reason you feel promptings, and take, have the courage to follow it. You'd be amazed at what's on the other side.
Beautiful. That is a really great message. So everybody, you've been listening to Laurel Elders from Tucson, Arizona, who is the founder of the Institute of Integrative Coaching, and who is an amazing connected woman. You can find Laurel at her website, integrativecoachtraining.com, and her email is laurel@integrativecoachtraining.com. I will put all that information for you in the show notes so you can reach out to her, tell her you heard her on this podcast, and if you feel led to work with her, please do it. You will be very happy that you did. So thank you, Laurel, for being on the show.
Diane, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
So remember, everyone, put your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you. You're a rock star here with a purpose and on purpose. So go out there and let your light shine. And remember, until the next episode, to be well.
Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit SomeoneGetsMe.com. Again, thanks for listening.